And an interesting thing, though, like when I asked them, like when they said you had to get chemo, they were, I was like, oh, am I gonna lose my hair? And they were like, you might not. You might not. Some people don't. You might not. And then when I went to go to actually get chemo, I was like, is my hair gonna fall out? To the nurse, nurse who like administers the chemo and everything. And she's like, oh, yeah, your hair is going to fall out. And I was like, they said it might not. And she's like, no.
She gave it to you straight.
She's like, it definitely will fall out.
Hello and welcome to Baldywood Confidential, a.k.a. Bald Talk, the podcast where two bald comedians interview bald actors, writers, directors, lovers, fighters, and really anyone bald about being bald. I'm Charlie Sanders, and I am bald.
I'm Brian Husky. I am bald.
Brian, our guest today is not currently bald, but at one time she was. She is a cancer survivor, and during her treatment, she went bald. She now has her hair back, and we're going to discuss that whole long journey, which is over a decade-long journey. She performed a one-woman show called The C Word about just this. She's also appeared in numerous TV shows, including Single Parents, Get Shorty, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and Weird City, just to name a few, and is a cast member of the new animated Fox show by Dan Harmon, Crapopolis. It's Pam Murphy. Pam, welcome to Bald Talk.
It's my Pam gosh. Murphy.
What a lovely intro.
Man. I'm glad you liked it.
I really did. I loved it. So I guess I'm an honorary member of the Bald Talk family.
Yeah, we just got that from your IMDb. It's like all that stuff about cancer's on there. That's like that's your lead thing. Yeah.
I have fans who update my page.
Before we start, when Charlie said, we should have Pam because, you know she had cancer. I was like, I had no idea, which blows my fucking mind.
That's so funny. I just assume that people know that, especially people I've known for so long. But I feel like you don't remember.
Like you and I, we did those weird ads, not ads, ads for Funny or Die that almost got me kicked out of SAG.
Right.
What's that story? I don't know that story.
We did these things for Funny or Die, this branded content. And so branded content is that vague space where it's like, they're commercials, but they're not because they were in the early days.
Especially when we did them.
Yes.
Especially when we did those.
When are we talking? Like
this
early
aughts? So was that prior to it?
After. Or? That's after I had cancer. Yeah, I had cancer a long time ago.
Like back in New York?
You know what, though? I think, yes, back in New York. I think you've already moved to Los Angeles when I had cancer.
Yeah.
That could be why.
I feel like we had more overlap in L.A. than New York.
Than in New York, yeah.
Well, so, I am glad that it worked out.
It's okay. It's
you
fine.
Know what? I mean,
life
I was
is
like,
okay.
I was thinking of maybe having to go the other way, but it's fine.
You're alive.
But it's fine this way. This way is good. It's normal.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I don't know why you got like busted. SAG like called you about it or something. And
wait,
not me.
Tell me the story.
That's what you get for being famous.
That's what you get for having more images.
They were like, we can't
search.
Fuck with Pam. We'll call Brian.
Yeah.
They just called up one day and they're like, you know, your status in the guild is in jeopardy because of your participation for a non-union gig as a union member. And I was like, what are you talking
about? I didn't know that it was going to be non-union either until like you get there and you're like, well, now what?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They were kind of like, they kept saying like, don't worry, it's kind of non-union, but you're fine. And then
you're fine.
And then Fiat like wanted to like, can we do pictures and post them on Twitter and stuff? I was like, no, you can't because we shouldn't be doing this.
Right.
And if you put it on Twitter, it's going to make it seem like it's part of the campaign.
Right. Yeah, because they, you know, it's those things where they're just like, this is just a comedy video, it's like, oh no, it's not. It's not. And this is the early days of that happening, too.
Yeah. It was the Wild West nest, very Wild West, which is
right. And it was
now.
Years later that they contacted you.
Oh, yeah. No, it was like seven
Four?
Years.
Seven?
Yeah. No, it was way after.
Oh my gosh. Somebody must have seen them or something, and they have a vendetta against you.
I think so. Or they're just like doing the books. They're like, we're like $1,000 short. Let's see. Oh, it's Husky. Okay, let's go squeeze him for this money. But yeah, it was insane because we just had to.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Then I actually did another commercial together, and I got cut out of it. Brian Husky is a bazillionaire because of those commercials.
which one was that?
I can't pay my rent.
Oh, the Carvana.
The Carvana. I got cut out.
I know.
But other people didn't get cut out. Those reaction shots, there's like 5 of them or something, and there's like other people who did not get cut out of their spots.
And they just got like your shoulder, and that didn't quite
not
make the cut.
Not even. Like not even. I don't even think they cut to the audience in that one. I don't even think they cut to like us at all.
Didn't you have like a bit? Didn't you have like a spoken...
Yeah, I had a bit, but when we were there, when we were shooting it, they had you say my lines, mine and Alana's lines.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is not looking good. I knew like on that day, I was like, damn it, it's not going to happen.
That was my first commercial experience. I did a Snickers ad, and I was like so psyched that I got a commercial. And I told everyone, told my family, it's like, I'm going to get a commercial. And then when it came out, I did not understand that you could get cut out of a commercial.
Right, that's the harsh, awful reality. You can
get
cut.
Welcome to Baldywood. Oh,
boy. It can never air. It might never air. But the interesting thing about that, they had you wear a toupee.
Yes.
They had your character wear a toupee in that.
They called it
a hair piece.
Oh, yeah, a piece.
This is the second instance of you having to wear a toupee?
No, we're still discussing the Carvana.
The Carvana.
She was in the Carvana ads and she got cut out.
I was supposed to be in the Carvana ads. Yeah. Okay.
But that was
to
make space for you to get cast on a network animated series.
That's true. Yeah. There's nothing
like,
wrong with that.
If I had been on the Carvana, they would have been like, oh, no. But I don't understand. Was it just like your character was supposed to be wearing a hairpiece or something?
It's come up so many times on this.
This is
like,
the most talked about type of
really,
really,
really.
It is a rule. It is a standard advertising rule of thumb that you can't have two or more bald guys in the
frame. Is that right?
Unless it is for comedic purposes. It affects sales. It affects viewership. People click away. So if
they don't like bald people.
They don't like bald people.
Oh, that's not right.
No. The director, she was like, no, they should both don't. They're fine. Just leave it. And they're like, well, I don't know. It might be fun. Like, I feel like Brian's character would have like this head of hair or something.
That's
crazy.
What I was wondering. I was like, is it because it's like your character would have it? Or was it supposed to look real or was it supposed to look bad?
It was supposed to look real, right?
It's supposed to look real. And the number of people who are like, hey, man. Looks pretty good.
Really?
Yeah, they're like, you look pretty good with a set of hair. I was like, well, you're an idiot.
That's what I think is interesting because, well, it looks like there's a clear defining line on it. I mean, I was there, though, so I saw it, like, up close. In person.
Yeah.
But that's the thing about, like, Jason Alexander, he, like, goes back and forth from hairpiece to no hairpiece, and I just don't understand.
He's like an action figure with, like,
why?
I don't understand it at all. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me.
I mean, if if you establish that you sort of have this thing, like, yeah, sometimes I feel like having hair, sometimes I don't. I guess you could sort of, like, move the needle a little bit.
I guess. Or you're like, oh, I'm doing it for a role. But he'll be like, oh, I'm wearing a hairpiece for this interview for no reason.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Or he's just like, I'm so fucking rich, I don't care. And I just
I guess. He's like, I like the way it is sometimes. Because it's just so interesting because it's not like a little bit like it's hidden. It's just like clearly there, clearly not there.
Totally.
So when I was bald.
Good transition. Thanks
please.
For taking the ball on that one. Yes.
Oh, yeah, I did it. So, you know, it was temporary, so whatever. But, you know, and an interesting thing, though, like when I asked them, like when they said you had to get chemo, I was like, oh, am I gonna lose my hair? And they were like, you might not. You might not. Some people don't. You might not. And then when I went to go to actually get chemo, I was like, is my hair going to fall out? To the nurse, nurse who like administers the chemo and everything. And she's like, oh, yeah, your hair is going
to
fall out. And I was like, they said it might not. And she's like, no,
straight.
She's like, it definitely will fall out. Totally. It will definitely fall out. Your hair will definitely fall out. I think because this is like a bummer. This is such a bummer. Some women decline chemo.
Really?
Wow.
They won't get like treatment because they don't want their hair to fall out. Oh, isn't that a bummer?
Yes.
Even if it's knowing that it's temporary, or do some of them fear that it's going to be
permanent? I think they just can't even deal. I think I'm sure there's like a lot of different things going on with like accepting that you have cancer and accepting that like you're sick and you have to get treatment and whatever. I'm sure there's like a lot of different things going on there. But I think it's like vanity or something, and where it's just like, what am I going to do without my hair or something? You know what I mean? And so women, this was at the time. So this was like maybe 15 years ago, 2007. So it's like 15 years ago, a long time. Mm-hmm. But that was the case then. It was like, you know, I think people are more, because of like Instagram and stuff, and you see people like doing their cancer journey.
Right.
Kind of like on Instagram, that it's more like accepted or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but like, there's like
at the time,
community to it.
Yeah, there's a huge community to it. And like a lot of times, because what I did, you know, I ended up like shaving my hair first.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had really long hair. Yeah, because it starts falling out. Mm-hmm. Well, it starts falling out, you know, like it starts falling out. It's like in your pillow, you like run your hands through your hair and you have like a fistful of hair or whatever. So you're like, this is a pain in the ass and weird. You know what I mean? Instead that you're just like, your hair is falling out. It just is like everything that you see, like when someone has radiation or something exposure like on like some show or whatever, that you're just like, and it's like all in the shower and everything. So it's also like empowering, I feel like, to shave your head. You're just like, it's my choice, I'm doing it, I'm gonna get ahead of it or whatever. So you like shave your head and it feels kind of badass to be like, just like totally shave your head. And then, but then, you know, like when you shave your head, you still have stubble. That stubble falls out because it absolutely is skin.
Right.
Like all your hair falls out. Your eyebrows fall out. Your eyelashes fall out.
Your eyelashes?
Your eyelashes fall out, yeah.
Wow.
Your eyelashes eventually fall out, yeah.
I did not know that. That's a deal breaker for me.
Oh, I'd really?
If I lost my eyelashes, I'd be like, no, I'm not getting the treatment.
You're a big eyelash guy.
Oh, my God, I'm known for my eyelashes.
But you can always just draw them on. I didn't think it was like that big of a deal. I guess people can get like fake ones put on, but it's like, I don't know. I don't know. It feels kind of, I don't know, cool.
Yeah.
Badass.
Yeah.
Feels kind of like badass.
I feel like anytime I see a woman out who, you know, clearly is going through it, I'm always just like, holy shit, fucking hero. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way. I don't know. It's interesting. But what you said about accepting that you're having, that you're going through that very mortal experience.
Right.
I think for a lot of people, I mean, I would probably feel the same way. Like, how did you experience like being faced with your own mortality? That's a huge question, but like, I mean, I can't
let me jump in really quick and just say that Fistful of Hair is a lesser known Sergio Leone movie. Okay, go ahead.
Perfectly timed.
Fistful of dollars, fistful of hair, fistful of coins.
Fistful of eyelashes.
Fistful of eyelashes.
So for me personally, I was like, I dare you to confront me. I didn't think I was going to die. Mm-hmm. I did not think I was going to die. I just thought, this is a pain in the ass. This is just I did not think I was going to die.
Mm-hmm. And was that on the diagnosis you had, or is it prognosis? I can't.
Prognosis. I think it's partly, I think it is prognosis. Like, I think they did a good job. What they do is that was like part of the thing of like them being like, your hair might not fall out, is that they tell you like each thing in steps. They don't okay, you're going to have to get all this stuff done. You're going to have to go get all these surgeries, and you're going to have to go through chemo. It's going to take all this time. Then you're going to have to be on medicine for 5 years after that.
Jesus.
They don't tell you everything at once. They're like,
you would get overloaded,
I guess. So they're like, they tell you like, okay, so the next step is this. And then the next step is
get parking validated after the meeting.
So, and I also felt like they immediately were like, I mean, I was freaked out when I first found out, but the reason why I was really freaked out is because the doctor left me, but this was like when I had a landline and I had an answering machine that I never checked because I also had a cell phone. So I checked my answering machine. There were like 5 messages from the doctor.
Oh no.
And the doctor was like, I'm going on vacation. Here's my cell phone number. And I was like, ah! You know, like that really freaked me out.
Is he hitting on me? Oh my God.
She.
Sorry.
I'll be at the putt-putt. Station.
So I was like, totally freaked out. I was like, that freaked me out to be like, a doctor being like, here's my cell phone number, call, mm-hmm. I'm going on vacation, call me, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then that freaked me out. But then she was like, it's a well-worn path. A lot of people have gone through it and it's going to be, you're going to be fine. It's going to be fine. Everybody, like, this is not a big deal. Like, everybody does this. This happens to everybody all the time. Like, pretty much is what she said, you know, so I didn't feel like, oh no, I'm going to die. But like when you start doing chemo, then you're like, this is going to kill me. This is like, cause it's like poison. You feel terrible. Yeah. And then you start to feel good again. And then you have to get like another dose when you start to feel better.
Right.
Ugh, but I don't know if I felt like I faced my own mortality, but I did feel like I don't really have to be nice to people. I know, like, great. I don't have to be nice to people, or I don't have to, like, do things I really don't want to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
That's, like, what... So it did give me, like, I guess not mortality, but a sense of, like, life is short, you only have one life or whatever, yada, yada, yada. But, like, one thing that, like, Anthony King actually said to me was, oh, what the hell did he say? He was like...
Come see Beetlejuice.
Life's short, come see Beetlejuice.
He was like,
back on Broadway.
He said, now's your time to be an asshole.
Yeah.
He was like, you know, you have, you know, like, don't worry about what other people are, you know, how they're feeling or whatever, like that. So
did that pay off in terms of our insane business? I mean, there's so much. Yeah, we're just like, it's hard not to take shit personally, or it's hard not to be like,
no, I'm still a cuckoo bird when it comes to it. Still total anxiety and regret and fear. And so it doesn't help. Yeah, doesn't totally. Help.
The closest thing I got to that was like after my divorce, I had the best sort of like run of auditioning that I ever had because really? Because I was like, fuck you.
Who
this
cares?
Is, this is nothing
cares?
Compared
like,
to what
cares?
I'm going through. Yeah.
I had to do an audition. I was driving to the audition. My dog was at the vet and I was outside. I like parked and the vet's like calling me back. And the vet was like, oh, you know, you might have to consider euthanasia or whatever. Mm. And I was just like, and then they were like, she lived longer than that. She just got all these tests done and stuff like that and whatever. But at the time when he said that, I was just like, and then I had to go do this stupid audition. I was like, no, I got to go do this stupid audition. And then I got it.
Yeah.
Because I was like such at a place of who cares and it doesn't matter. And instead of being like, say it right. Like this.
I know.
Like this. Is this what you like?
Yeah.
You know?
During the pandemic, I had a new neighbor move in next door to me, and I like introduced myself to him, and we hit it off and became like fast friends, like really quickly, because it was like we were like the only two people we could see. And then he goes, we're hanging out one day, and he goes, hey, I got to tell you something heavy. And I was like, what? And he's like, I'm dying of cancer. And he didn't. He lived, but he thought. So he had a diagnosis of you're gone, brother.
Right.
He made it. Damn. But I was like, so does that make you like love every moment more? And he was like, people say that, but no. He's like, I'm still waiting for the repair guy to fix the hole in my floor.
Right.
Like, me totally. Having cancer doesn't make me not need the repair guy to fix the hole in my floor.
You know? Yeah. I know. Of course. I know. Yeah. And you're also like, you know, at the time too, you don't feel well.
Yeah.
So you're not like, I'm going to go grab life by the horns and do everything I ever wanted to do.
Yeah.
You can't. You have like very bad immune system. You know, you can't go anywhere. You feel terrible. You know what I mean? So you just kind of have to be like, well, I want to feel well again or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my experience. Maybe other people go do whatever, but You know, I mean, that's great that he lived. That's so crazy because it's so weird. I mean, just thinking about cancer, how people are like, you got to think positive. It's like, nah. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, how do you, like, is that what it is? Is it science? What is it? You know, because people are like, you have to have a positive attitude. It's like, well, some people are like positive attitude and fighting, and they don't make it. Because you know,
and so
people
are fucking assholes and keep living.
And they keep living. They keep living. So when I didn't have hair, I just to bring
Pam
it back to
definitely
the
our
show.
Best transitional.
Yeah, just sit back and let her.
No.
She's
going to
start saying, "Oh, thanks for asking me, Brian." I was like, "I didn't ask you anything."
I didn't wear I didn't wear a wig, and I would sometimes wear a hat for cold because it was cold.
Yeah,
I did get a wig like insurance provides a wig. You can get a wig for free. Mm-hmm. And
oh man, how is it?
Why is
that
funny?
Does it?
They don't
it,
ship you a wig. You go and pick a wig. And
but is it like? Is it based like if you have like
everybody?
What
has
tier of insurance do you have? Like if you're like,
is this SAG level or WGA? Yeah.
This is before. This is like before I was even an actor.
Oh my god. So you just had to go into like this warehouse where there's a big pile of wigs.
To a wig place and then they sent the thing. Like a claim or whatever. They sent the bill.
When did you become an actor?
I became an actor later in life, in the twilight of my life. The thing is that, well, I just started taking classes at UCB. I worked in the mortgage business and I was as a hobby for fun, fun. So I started taking classes at UCB like when I was 30.
Can I do a Charlie Sanders move and go back two steps on something we were just talking about?
Yeah.
The wigs. So with the wig thing reminded me of Seth Morris's mom used to work with hospice, specifically like cancer survivors and stuff. Uh-huh. And when we started to do our sketch group.
Oh, no.
He was like, guys, I have a main line to all the wigs we need.
I have access
and
to the
literally,
wigs.
Like, he went back home, but he came back with like two garbage bags full of just
that's
cancer
amazing.
Wigs.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
well, and we were like, "Can we? Do we?
You
they,
have to.
Do we
yeah.
stage them? Like, what do we do?"
Yeah.
Yeah. We.
No, they live on. They live
they
on.
Live on. Now, and they all had like great careers. Like they got more work than we did.
Yeah.
Great. Damn wigs.
Damn wigs.
Damn wigs.
Only on Bald Talk.
Ever heard of social media? We have, and no big deal, we are on it. Check us out on Instagram at Bald Talk Pod or on Twitter at Bald Talk Podcast.
Please make sure to like, rate, and review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
We don't care where you get them, just get them.
No judgment, wherever you get them, anywhere, anywhere.
Anywhere, whatever, no judgment.
As long as you listen, we don't give a fuck.
Only on Bald Talk.
Pam, when did you get into acting? I know you were in the mortgage business, apparently.
Joy. Oh, actually, the day that I found out that I had cancer, I got my first commercial agent.
Oh. That's insane.
Yeah, when I called the doctor back, and then I was going to sign
That's the
at CESD.
Was it that
yeah,
guy
I was
right
going
though?
To sign at CESD, and I was like, get it together! Because I was like, blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
I was like, blah, 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 blah. So I was going to sign with my first commercial agent, you know? And I just had to be like, well, I'm going to do it, and then I'll try to audition before my hair falls out,
I felt like.
You know what I mean?
Well, that's not the best time to bring that up. It's like, I'm going to try to squeeze this in before my chemos.
I know. And so then after like a while, when my hair was like definitely going to fall out, I was like, I have cancer, so it's going to be a little while. My hair's going to fall out, you know, whatever. And then I started working after my hair grew back in.
Wow.
After my hair grew back in. I couldn't get anything.
That's amazing. Dude, it's not the same. Like, I'm not saying this is equal to what you went through, but like, my mom's like a fall down bad alcoholic that like ends up in the hospital and in jail
same
and
thing,
shit like
same
that.
Thing.
Oh, you too. Okay, cool. You got a double trouble, baby. I swear to God, it's like every time something good in my career happens, I get a call from one of my brothers being like, oh, mom's in the hospital again.
Oh, man.
It's like, it's always like the day that they're like, hey, you're hired for Key and Peele.
Yeah.
Ring. Mom's in the hospital. And you're fuck, how does life time this shit?
I know. It's unbelievable.
I guess it's the yin and yang of it all.
Here's a little good, here's a little bad.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some people just get good.
I know.
But some people just get bad.
True, yeah, we get both. We get both.
Oh, so I didn't wear a wig for a really long time. Then I had gotten fired from my job in the mortgage business because my numbers were going down.
Is this in New York City?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because my numbers weren't there because I was out for 6 weeks getting surgery. They laid me off.
Oh, my God.
Because my numbers were low. Cancer. My numbers were low.
Yeah, my T-cell is also low, sir.
I said, you know I have cancer, right? You know I have cancer, and I was out for 6 weeks, and that's why my numbers are low. And they were
and
like,
I got
just
hemorrhoids from sitting in this fucking chair and working the phone, all right?
Working the phones. My numbers are down.
Okay.
Your numbers are down. I want
you
the good leads.
You can lay in bed and call people. What the fuck?
So then I went back to, I used to be a hairdresser before that. So I used to be a hairdresser before that. So I went back to doing hair. Mm-hmm. So I started wearing a wig at the salon to make people feel more comfortable.
Where was the salon?
In Mendham, New Jersey,
Oh.
But could they tell you're wearing a wig? And they would be like,
no.
Mom, really?
People couldn't tell. No.
I want your cut. Give me your cut.
Yeah, people could not tell I was wearing a wig at all.
Wow.
Isn't that incredible?
I mean, I
didn't
know.
It was also very short. It was like a short wig that was just like short. I was just like, just give me a little something.
Right.
it was just short. I was like, I don't want like a big thing or whatever. I just got like, you know, it was just very, very short. It was like a short haircut. Mm-hmm. And nobody knew that I was wearing a wig. Because I was just did it because like, otherwise people are like, what's going on? You know what I mean? Like when they're getting their hair done and they like want to, they're like, maybe we'll ask questions or whatever. Or they might be like, this lady shaves her head. How is she going to do my hair or whatever? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I would wear, I would like wear a wig to work and that was it. And like when I get in the car, I'd rip it off.
Oh man.
Because it was like, to me, it's not comfortable. Other people, you know, it's fine. You know, they're comfortable with it. It's not like to me. I was like, this is so itchy and it's so hot. I'm like pouring sweat. I'm pouring sweat wearing this thing. Then when I stopped wearing it, like when my hair started growing in and I had like a quarter of an inch of hair, I stopped wearing it and people were like, oh, you shaved your head.
Yeah.
Oh.
So they had no idea that it was a wig that I was like bald under this wig. And to me, I was like, it's so obvious that this is a wig.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, to me, I was like, this is so clearly a wig. Because I'd be like, meh, 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 meh. You know, like the whole thing.
That's a cool trick.
I was like,
How do you do that?
Yeah, the whole thing would shake. But I don't know. I guess you'd say my baldness journey was short.
Short. Really short. Yeah, how long did it last? Like, was it a year without? Six months?
It was probably about 10 months.
Yeah.
Okay.
10 months without hair. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I was surprised. Like, I believe both Karamo and Amy Gibson told us that a lot of, like, way more than I had any idea about of African-American women have wigs and are, like, wearing wigs. And I was like, I had no idea.
Right. Yeah.
And now it's like, last night I was watching the artistically relevant show Guy Fieri's Chance of a Lifetime.
Oh.
And there's an African American woman out there and she has really great hair. I love it. But I was like, is that a wig? Like, I don't know, you know.
Can I trust this hair? What's going on?
Right.
But it's becoming
like really popular now all the time, like all women like wearing pieces, getting like their hair weaved into their hair, wearing a complete wig, like it's really, really super popular now.
Yeah, my friend Scott Armstrong's daughter went through a little period where she just would like, she had a few wigs. She would just rock. Like she would just show up.
That's awesome.
I know, she'd come over and hang out with Islands. Like she would just have pink hair. I was like, oh, I like your hair.
Cool.
She's like, it's a wig. I was like, is it? and the next time it'd be blue, you know.
I know. So they, so you can change it. I think it's like way more popular now, and it's more like kind of, I don't know.
Yeah.
Accepted or something, because even I watch Dancing with the Stars.
Culturally relevant.
And Carrie Ann Inave, I think that's her name. I don't know. One of the judges is just like always like in a different wig, mm-hmm. just like to match her. Yeah. So I don't know. I think it's like more acceptable or something to it. It's expensive. That hair is expensive.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. It's really, really expensive.
How much are we talking? You want to give numbers?
Oh, my gosh. Hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
Oh, shit.
That thing I had for that commercial was insane.
It was?
Human hair is really expensive.
Yeah.
It's a huge business.
Whoa, really?
It's a huge business. But, like, people get it, like, sewn in, you know, and then you have to go back and get it tightened, like, once a month.
Yeah.
Because your hair starts to grow out, the thing starts to loosen with wear. So you keep getting it, you know, your piece sewn in. There'll be like a fall where it's like added hair, mm-hmm. you know, like whatever under your hair or something like that. Or wow. people just get a piece.
When I was in New York, I did a commercial for, I think I've told about this, but that time John McEnroe had a that brief moment, he had his own talk show.
I forgot about it, but it was this
bizarre period where they were shooting, it was on a weird network too, it was like on C-SPAN or some bizarre, like why, what's happening here? And I remember it was out in Jersey, and Paul Scheer had done some stuff for it in Hubel, and so it was just some people were getting like recommended, and I was bald, and so I was a candidate for doing a bit where I wore a hairpiece, and he ripped it off my head in a hilarious rage. But I got to go to like New York's premier wiggist. This dude at like Midtown who had a cigar, and he was on 11th floor of some like flophouse building, you know, and he'd go in there, and it's just this room full of like hair pieces, and he was like, you know, he was like, well, I gave it to Charlton Heston, blah blah blah.
My gosh,
it was amazing, and he was and he just like looked at me as like, I know what to do with you, and he just went over, grabbed this wig, and like sat me down and put it on there, and he's like, I'm gonna trim this.
Didn't Conan make fun of that show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
And you were offended.
I was deeply offended.
You were
in both worlds.
I have a sibling. Maybe. I don't know if I should.
TBD? How do you define
out
it?
My sibling. But used to go to the hair club.
Yeah.
Well, now it's called maybe it's just called the club or something. I think they changed the name. But anyway, what they do is they shave like whatever hair you have, you mm-hmm. know, like, cause you know, sometimes you'll have like a little bit or whatever. Mm-hmm. They shave that. They get like a super heavy duty glue and they glue this piece
Ugh.
On.
Ugh.
And so, but you have to keep going, I guess, every month to get it tightened or whatever, put it on.
There was technology for a while in the late 70s, early 80s, and I know because my friend's uncle had it, but where they had snaps. They implanted snaps.
Oh my god, I remember that.
And you would snap on the piece.
They put snaps in your skin. Your head.
It's such a low rent, like future shock kind of thing. I'm just like, we're gonna put a zipper on your head and you can open it up and pull out hair.
So like the receiver of the snap was in your scalp? And then you like plugged it in.
Like if you took it off,
you would have to unsnap it.
You would look like one of those weirdo, you know, those people who put like bumps under their skin or like have a bone.
Don't call them weirdos.
They are weirdos. They are weirdos.
That's not PC, bro.
Oh, don't call them weirdos.
It's only because I'm scared of doing it myself.
When I was in like grade school, I would shave the side. Like I had a mohawk. I would like shave
you
my
did?
Head myself. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So like for me, losing my hair maybe wasn't that big of a deal, I thought, because I was like, I used to shave like lines in my hair and like designs in my hair. I would like shave my hair with like a razor. Yeah.
Nice.
I was one of those people.
One of those
weirdos. Aren't weird. I would have like a mohawk. I would like totally shave the sides of my head. So maybe I used to have a mohawk. So to me, it wasn't as that big of a deal or whatever, traumatic or something, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
But now also, too, for cancer patients, they can freeze your scalp so you don't lose your hair. You have to wear like this cap while you're receiving your chemo. It's expensive. Mm-hmm. It is expensive.
Like a swim cap, kind of?
It's kind of like a swim cap, but it's like freezing.
Uh-huh.
It's like frozen. It's like very cold.
Oh my
it's
God.
Like ultra
Sounds
cold.
Awful.
I think it's like maybe $500 a shot. But if it's like so important to you, this is like for right. any lady, remember this, or whoever gets diagnosed with cancer or something, and you really care, you know, instead of not getting chemo, whatever,
yeah.
they put this freezing cap on your head because the chemotherapy kills rapidly growing cells,
mm-hmm.
and uh-huh. hair is a rapidly growing cell. So it just freezes it. It freezes like your hair follicle. So yeah. like your hair doesn't fall out, but you have, it's like very cold and then they switch it. You know, they,
have you done it?
I haven't done it, but I've heard tell.
Heard tell, yeah.
How long heard do you tell. Have to wear it? Like, and
I think you're just wearing it while you're getting your infusion, while you're getting your treatment. So like it takes a couple hours, maybe like 3 or 4 hours or something, depending on whatever chemo you're getting or whatever. Your
Wouldn't
deal
it
is.
Make you chilly?
I think you're very cold. I think you're very cold.
Okay, the eyelashes and the chilliness. I'm just
yeah, that's tough.
I think it's very cold, but you know, not people can't afford it either. You know, some
yeah,
people can't
afford
it.
And that's a lot, though.
And some people are just like, that's not for me. And some people are like, maybe I'm going through cancer, so I want to show that I'm going through cancer or whatever. And you know, a lot of people, I feel like they went through like I know people. A lot of people have gone through cancer. And they would wear a wig and you kind of couldn't tell and they weren't like, I'm going through cancer. You know
yeah,
what I
well,
mean?
Pam, when I knew you, I had no idea. Like, I knew you when this was happening and I had no idea.
Right. I knew you after and I didn't know that it had happened before.
You knew me before, though.
Yeah.
You knew me
yeah,
before.
Yeah, I did. That's mm-hmm. true.
You did. You knew,
I knew
me.
You.
You know who I am.
Guess.
I knew who you were.
Table. I'm pushing everything. I'm overturning. I'm destroying my own apartment.
Pam, how did having cancer affect your comedy?
Oh, better. Aces.
I mean, you're one of my favorite comedians. That's why like, I want to put you in everything I ever make. But like, what,
you're the sweetest.
Oh, no problem. What? But did it affect it? I don't know why my voice went up an octave there.
Did it affect it? maybe, I don't know, maybe a little bit edgier. I don't know. Do you think it maybe is like a little bit darker? Maybe made me a little bit more willing to take chances or something.
Uh-huh.
Because I feel like before I had, because I was like on Herald Night, you know, I was on Herald Night when I had cancer and then I like stayed on Herald Night.
Yeah.
And I kind of felt bad for the audience or something. I was like, they have to be like that lady with the cancer up there or something, you know, I kind of felt whatever. I think before I had cancer, I had like stage fright bad.
You did?
I had stage fright pretty bad. Oh. And like, I would be like, have to kind of talk myself, you know, into doing it or whatever, or like improvising, because it's nerve-wracking. You know, I guess it's nerve-wracking. It helped, I think, with that. It made me be more like, meh, like less anxious or less anxious about it.
Did you have any like sensitivity? Because I, you know, I feel like, especially early 2000s, we were very un-PC in a lot of, you know, like you're saying, like very dark and stuff. There are a lot of cancer jokes. Was any of that stuff where you're like, hey, you know what, back off. That's my territory. Or you're just like, uh-huh.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just like, uh-huh. I mean, I would never be like offended or something if, because I mean, you, I feel like in that time we'd always be like, it's cancer.
Yeah, totally.
You know, and other terrible things and other things
Somebody. Right? Thank God no one was recording.
Oh my God. Always. It'd be like, it's AIDS, you know, or something like that. Whatever. You know, not very. I don't know. Considerate. I don't know what I mean. But I also feel like New York at that time.
Oh my God.
People were like,
they liked it.
They liked it. They wanted like dark
totally.
Things.
Totally.
Los Angeles did not like. Yeah.
No.
You'd
that
be like,
was a change.
I feel like in New York, you would be like 9/11. Everybody would be like,
But in LA, where it didn't happen, you'd be like 9/11, and they're like,
yes. And we're like, come on, we have to tell our 9/11 jokes.
We did that when there was one night somebody brought it up, and the audience was like, and like almost everybody on stage like broke the fourth wall and just like, we were there, shut up, we were there,
right. You were there. I know. exactly
They're like, and even, it's and okay. that made it worse. People are like, oh, now they're yelling at us, what's happening?
Right, they love this stuff in New York, you LA elitist, blah, blah, blah. Then you went on like a rant.
It is amazing to me, like the stuff that would get a gasp, or still does, like, well, I haven't done a show
I'm
in
still
3 years.
Shocked. I know,
right. Right, right.
Well, I've performed in L.A. vastly longer than I did in New York, and I'm still shocked sometimes when I say something like, mm-hmm. not even that bad, but just like a little bit borderline offensive, and the audience is like,
yeah. That yeah. is crazy. Like, I just realized, like, I've performed longer here than in New York, but I feel like...
Me too.
I feel like we were all in New York longer than we've been here for some reason.
Yeah, spiritually.
Yeah, spiritually.
Yeah, yeah.
Developmentally.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess maybe because it's like that's where you started or something. Yeah. I don't know. That's why
maybe
it feels like well, I'm a New York improviser. It's like, no.
Yeah.
You're there for like 2 years or whatever. You've been here forever. But yeah, I guess you have to be like, I think it is like, I don't know. Maybe there's something to like, we're here to laugh or whatever. That's too much. You've gone too far. They're just like telling you you've gone too far or whatever. Sometimes I think people are like, ah, I don't like that. Yeah. Look at me. I don't like it.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? A little bit or something. A little bit of that. I don't know. I mean, I guess you have to like kind of respect. Okay. They don't like it.
Yeah. 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 You know, yeah. You gotta give them what they want. But
you gotta give them what they want, baby. They want puppies and kittens. Give them.
But our like the kind of model of UCB was like, okay, this is a like you're gonna come see punk bands. Like if you're not into
right. So back in the day, yeah. it was for sure. Yeah.
And right. I think, right.
And it sort of came out here. I feel like when they started the UCB out here, they tried to kind of hand that off a little bit to the new students. I remember they used to have like the Dirtiest Sketch Show, and some of the stuff got
right.
yeah.
so insane that Besser was like, right. okay, you guys can't go to the bathroom on stage.
Right,
that's
right,
a good
right.
call. Yeah, I think that's the right
you can't
call.
Can't do some of these things. They're like, what?
I mean, it was New York is very chaotic, but I also think like. People would shit on stage or have sex on stage or whatever, or like drink a gallon of milk and then throw it up on stage and then drink it, like do all kinds of like really weird stuff. But I think it's because also, I mean, maybe at the time it felt like New York was more, you would see the most, you know, fucked up shit on the street, like in regular everyday life or whatever that I guess you would.
I don't feel like it crossed that line, like there was an understanding of just like we can sort of like talk about it or portray it, but like in LA,
but not
like,
do
they
it.
Did it. You're like, no. Yeah. It's that little. It's like don't.
I remember hearing about that. Be like, I don't like it.
You know, I'm just thinking like I feel like I have done stuff like on stage where it was like, you know, where you're improvising or whatever, and you're like, oh, you have. You know, like my character, it's cancer or something right. like that. And the audience is like, ugh. And I want to be like, I really had cancer. So
yeah,
fuck
I
you!
Get to. Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean? So I feel like there is a sense of that where it's like, well, I guess they don't know. They don't know that I had cancer or whatever. But it's like, I can say stuff like that. I have a right to say it. You know,
that is your 9/11.
It's my mini 9/11, baby.
Personal 9/11. Well, I know I'm a child abuse survivor, and like I'm not offended if people make jokes about child abuse on stage.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, same thing, like dysfunctional family stuff. It's
But
it's a weird thing. I guess what is cathartic for a lot of people, if you don't have experience with it, or you don't have it, if you speculate on it, it can seem much more intense and darker than it is.
Than if you've lived through it or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's dark and it sucks, but
yeah.
Yeah, I think it's maybe bad.
Isn't that bad?
That was my experience.
I've been there's that book, The Body Keeps the Score.
I'm reading that right now.
Oh, are you?
Yes, I'm literally in the middle of it.
Yeah, but there's that whole thing where they were talking about she was like a housewife who became, she was a victim of like abuse and sexual abuse growing up, and then she became a prostitute and kept going back to this pimp. And then she had therapy, and they're like, okay, we're going to help you. And she just kept going back. And mm-hmm. there was something to her revisiting this stuff that that she suffered from that was helping her kind of like have ownership of it or to sort of like neutralize the impact of it. And I think about that a lot of just like how many people I know in comedy who kind of revisit that territory.
Oh my God.
To kind of
so
neutralize
many.
It, you know, to kind of.
Yeah,
because like,
you're new. Yeah, that makes sense because you are kind of taking, like, I have control of what I'm doing now. Yeah. Like, where those things were, you know, done to me or happened to me or whatever, mm-hmm. that by me taking ownership of it and redoing it, I'm the one in control now, is your thinking.
Yeah.
You know, I think maybe to an extent.
I'm kind of like shaving your head, bringing it back to bald.
Boom.
Boom. Boom. Full circle.
Boom. Boom.
Oh,
by choosing to get cancer to lose your hair so you can get on a podcast.
I had this was like right before the pandemic started. I was doing a job. Oh, I booked a job.
Nice.
And the woman was doing my hair, and she was using a flat iron. You know, it's very hot. Hot flat iron. Mm. And I was a hairdresser. And I had known this makeup artist before. Like I'd worked with her on some other show or whatever. Anyway, I could smell it. I knew like what had happened.
Oh, no. It was bad.
I saw a plume of smoke.
Oh, God. Okay, and that's not good.
A plume of smoke.
Singed
hair. I could smell it. I could smell it. She's still like trying to talk to me, like saying,
"Have
calm.
You heard this incense I have? It's really interesting."
She starts putting oil in my hair, and I'm like still talking, and she's going like, mm-hmm. And it smells like burnt hair.
Yeah, yeah.
It smells really bad, like burnt hair, right?
It's a weird smell.
And then she's still trying to like, just keep the conversation. And then she just goes, "Pam." And I go, "What happened? What happened?" And she goes, "I don't know. I used the heat protector. I don't know why that happened," or whatever. And then she like looked at her flat iron, and it had like malfunctioned. The metal plates had melted away from the plastic.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, "Oh my God." Like maybe she had it on too high or whatever. She was freaked out. And it was like my hair was burned. Like it looked like it was burned. It was all singed on the end. It was like a big chunk, like right in the front on the side or whatever. And this is right before I'm supposed to go, you know,
shoot
on camera and do my thing
my
or
God.
Whatever.
Oh, brutal.
And it's like all crispy and burnt. And then they're like, "Okay," you know, like the AD's coming, like, "How much more time?" And she's like, "We need some time, you know, like we need more time.
Time.
We need some time. We need more time. Just, you know, whatever."
Oh,
so she had like completely burned my hair, like a big chunk of my hair right in the front. And she was like freaking out. And I was like, "It's okay. It's okay. It's okay." And I think maybe because I had, you know, lost my hair before, and maybe because I was a hairdresser, I was like, "It's fine. Like, it's not that big of a deal."
They just put a bonnet on your character. Just like,
I was just like, I know. I was just like, she was just like, she just kind of like
folded it over.
She kind of like put hair on top of it to kind of hide it. And she went out and got like little clips, like little hairpiece clips. She's like, and she was like, "Please don't wash your hair tonight. Please don't wash your hair tonight." You know, because I had to be back the next day or whatever.
Oh,
and I was like, "I gotta wash my hair. I gotta see what's up. I gotta see what happened. I gotta see what happened."
Damage.
Because she knew like anything, it was just gonna break off.
Oh my
God. You know? And I was just like, "This has to break off. I just am gonna like let it break off." So yeah, I washed my hair and everything, and I was like, "I had to wash it. I'm sorry. I did it." And it was just like a big chunk of hair was just gone.
Yeah.
It was just like burned. It was burned to like maybe within an inch of my head. And I was like, "I can't believe that happened. I can't believe that that like never happened ever."
Yeah, yeah.
All the times that someone else is like doing your hair and stuff. And she was really, really freaked. But I was like, "Meh, it's okay. It'll grow back. Mm-hmm. It'll grow back. It's fine. It's
no,
fine, it's
it
fine.
Won't. I burned your scalp in such a way that it's scarred."
There's going to be a scar.
And you couldn't see it. You couldn't really tell that much. But I was just like, you couldn't really tell that much. But right when it happened, I was like, okay, right before you have to go do like your scene or whatever.
Yeah.
You
oh
know?
Man.
But it was fine. I mean, it eventually grew back. And then the pandemic happened. You're like, "Who cares about that lady burned my hair off?"
Yeah, who gives a fuck? Yeah, totally.
Yeah, who cares?
A funny side note really quick is I feel like first ADs have the hardest job in showbiz, for sure.
Yeah.
Like they keep, for those of you out there that don't know what a first AD is, It's the first assistant director. They keep the schedule. They keep everything moving. But they do have an amazing knack to show up when something terrible like that is happening and be like, Pam, are you ready?
Yeah.
I feel like that always happens to me.
Yeah, they're like, what's going on? And I was like, it's not my fault.
I didn't do it.
I'm being like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't want to be like, this actor is difficult and is not ready to come on set or something. You know what I mean? I was like, it's not me. The lady burned my hair. Yeah. Everyone knows that, right?
But that is how the chain of like communication a lot of times is just like, well, there's a problem with the actor, and they're like, oh, fucking the actor. You know, it's like,
right. No actors.
Right, right. And I'm like, it's not me. The lady burned my hair. I didn't do anything.
Man.
I'm ready. I'm always ready. I'm ready.
That thing I did, I did something right before Christmas. It was like this low budget thing. And it was like the biggest clown car of an experience I've had. Like working.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit. Just but one of the clown car aspects was that the first AD just would start arguments with everybody. Like people are like, hey,
really?
It was just so like she's very passive. It was the first time she's usually a second. And so I don't, mm-hmm. and I don't even know what a second AD does. I think they just get coffee.
A second usually
does background. They run the
correct.
Background.
They run the background.
Right. They take care of the background.
So she was, you know, she has to communicate with all the departments, and then she'd be like, okay, we're going. And they're like, no, we're not rolling yet. Like, you know, we haven't slated. She's like, well, why don't you slate? And she'd just be screaming at them, and like sound is rolling. And so while she's screaming at them, she didn't hear sound saying, we're ready. And she's like, are you ready? He's like, we just said you're ready. And so it just felt like it was like being.
Oh, it's not necessary.
It's so not necessary.
This thing.
Oh God, that's
so not necessary. It makes it so hard for you to do. Like, I mean, it's so because you're like, you know, it's silly to say, I guess maybe, but it makes it hard for you to do your job.
Completely.
You're like, I have to be an actor. Yeah. I'm like pretending right now, and you're making it hard for me to pretend.
Yeah.
You know, like I have to be here in a moment and in the moment, and people are like, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, you know, or whatever.
It was just like, it was an insane, like they were just always stressed out about how much time they were wasting as they were wasting time.
And then, right. Like, but I think
I know exactly what you're talking about.
When you're on the outside, you can see it, but they're like in the thick of it and they can't see the forest through the trees. They can't see that they're immediately wasting time and complaining and.
Yeah.
Like all this stuff is wasting time instead of like staying calm, not yelling at people. Things are talked about 3 or 4 times that don't need to be talked about, you know,
totally.
You see it and you're just like, ugh. I had one time, I think sometimes like when someone moves up from like second AD and maybe their first time first AD, people have like a not a good attitude towards background, mm-hmm. I feel like. And they don't treat background very nice a lot of times. Like when you're on a set, you see like background isn't treated. And they're like, hurry up. Why aren't they there? Blah, 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 blah. So I think that like translates to, it's like, oh no, you have to be like more calm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, like, a calm demeanor is essential for a good first
aid. They just have to be like, okay, what are we doing here? Okay.
Yeah,
they have to be persistent.
Okay, we need 5. Mm-hmm. How much do we have? Okay, 5. And be very happy, very happy. But okay, we're rolling into a reset on that. Blah, 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 blah,
there's
blah.
Also an art to getting people's attention to, you know what I mean, like quiet on set, getting sort of like, because people start chatting and stuff.
Yeah,
right.
Some people are really great at it. They're just like, okay, everybody. And everybody's like, oh, okay. And then other people are just screaming into it, and it's just like, elevates the sound.
Like, you get on edge, totally.
Yeah,
right.
I feel like Pam, if you remember Effie from Weird City, like he was the master of the calm first.
Yeah,
AD.
Really, really calm.
He'd
super,
just be like,
calm.
Let's all quiet down, guys. And for some reason, just like his quiet tone, you'd be like, oh, even me, it would be like,
did he have an accent too?
No, I don't think so.
No, okay. I was thinking he had like a sometimes I feel like when people have like a British accent or like a French accent or something, you're just okay.
Okay, I'll be quiet.
All right. I'm not an oaf. Listen to them. Yes. All right.
Yeah, the other thing that was weird is like the DP, director of photography. No big deal. Insider.
Outside of showbiz.
He was very quiet, and so he would pull down his mask to sort of talk to his crew and talk to other people, and then he wouldn't pull his mask up, and I constantly was just getting like so anxious of just like we'd start rolling and I just see this guy like getting closer with no mask near, you know, like pushing in. I'm like
breathing.
Oh my God.
You see like phlegm coming out of his mouth.
Did you say anything to anybody?
I did. Like I went to him. I was like, "Hey, Steve, I'm asking you for my sake. I get really anxious every time I see your mask down." He's like, "I'm so sorry, I forget." And it's like, "I know you're doing your job. You get really
focused.
And
I know you forget. Like, I know you forget.
Yeah, it's
but
not
still.
Intentional. Yeah.
But also, the thing is, too, now we're just talking about acting, baby.
Acting. I'm bald, by the way, when I was acting.
But the thing is that it shouldn't be our place to say.
I know what I mean?
Where are all these COVID compliance officers supposed to tell everybody to put their mask up? Because I had that happen where it was like I was in a room with another actor and it was like that was our holding, me and this other actor, and he didn't have a mask on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, and the first AD was like coming in and out, and I was like,
would you maybe?
And I had like, you know, I had an N95 on. I was like, I'm sure this is fine. This is right before Omicron like takeover.
Yeah, change the game.
But I was like, I'm sure this is fine. He's far enough away from me, whatever. Then later in the day, we were going to crafting, and he was like, oh my God, I don't have my mask on. I keep forgetting to put my mask on. And I was like, and he's like, people probably think I'm a jerk. And I was like, yeah, I thought you were a jerk. I thought you were a jerk. You didn't have your mask on. I didn't want to start a fight with you about it. You know, I did. I was like, I thought you were a jerk.
That's funny.
But it shouldn't be. We shouldn't have to say
no,
it.
No,
you know, it should have been like somebody else should have been like, hey, let's remember to keep our masks up or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the guy also could make a, you know, talk a little louder.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. He also had like one of those saggy 3-year-old cloth masks that just was like just a spit holder.
It's like,
you know?
Why even have it?
I know. It just looks like, is that for you to throw up into and then just like keep working?
It's like what horses have.
Yeah.
Like where they eat
their feed
little,
bucket.
Yeah, their feed bucket.
Yeah, there's, I got granola in here. I just like keep.
But so also that's another thing. Why isn't everybody given a high quality mask?
Oh,
you
know
what I mean? Why is he wearing this, like, that shouldn't be allowed. Everybody should have to. It's like when you go to the doctor now during the pandemic, they have you take off your mask and they give you a surgical mask, you know?
Yeah. But they give you a surgical one. You come in with like an N95. It's like, hey, will you downgrade to this thing?
I know, and you're like,
we're
going to
duct tape
this
napkin
over, and you're like,
over your mouth.
I know.
Let's end on a COVID
note. I love it.
Yay. The best of notes.
An industry focused COVID note.
You know, I'm going to bring it back full circle.
Do.
Oh, thanks so much.
You know, you asked me how I felt facing my own mortality.
Oh, I've lost interest in that question.
But right now, going through a pandemic, I feel like most of the world is facing their own mortality in this situation, you know? And it's like, what are people doing? Are people like, yay, I'm going to party? No. And some people are like, who cares, whatever, carpe diem. Some people are like, I'm going to stay in my hidey hole and wait this out and, you know, whatever. When this pandemic's over, I'm going to go to Europe or whatever, you know? So.
Yeah, it is kind of true. I feel like it's like there's a little bit of like, it's almost like if you sort of so like, oh, come on, let's do mushrooms and the experience is going to be this amazing thing. And if you don't have that amazing experience, you feel like you're doing it wrong or something.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
like,
you did do mushrooms wrong. You've always
I
done them wrong.
I always
know
do
that
them
about
mainly
you.
And it never works.
I did mushrooms once and it was terrible.
Yeah.
I've never done mushrooms.
Don't do it.
Your tum-tum hurts, right? It takes a long time.
I just know that I learned I'm a person that doesn't want to see things that aren't there.
Yeah, I don't either.
It doesn't work for me.
I'm fine.
I was with my brother and his head kept expanding into a weird balloon. And I was like,
oh, wow.
I really, really hate this. Yeah.
Yeah, that seems scary.
That
was like
25
years. I don't like it.
Well, see, you're doing it wrong, and that's the kind of, just like you did cancer wrong. You should have come out to all these revelations and written poetry.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Do you guys
really
all
want to
write a poetry
book
together?
You can always try it again.
Hey, yeah, let's write a poetry book together. Can we start this podcast over? Sorry, everyone.
I am going to restart. I know I just said we're going to end, but I have one more thing to mention. I do have a friend who, during pandemic, found out he had cancer, beat it. Pandemic almost ended, then the cancer came back again.
Jesus.
The pandemic came up, came back again, and now he's totally totally clear.
Oh, good.
And he, you know, he was having to go and like go at the height of it, go into the hospital and like, you know, all the like insanity.
Yeah.
And I had the same thing. I was like, what is like, do you feel, you know, do you have a greater appreciation for life or anything? He's like, I love donuts.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. I really love donuts. That's the thing. And like, I every time I eat a donut, I was like, I'm fucking so grateful
just
for this
enjoy,
donut.
Yeah.
And I loved it. That was just sort of like, yeah. I mean, you just sort of like, yeah, this makes me really happy.
The little things.
The little things. Little donuts.
Little
and
donuts.
COVID. Okay, cool.
All right. Thanks for listening, Baldies. We'll see you on the other side.
Thanks for coming, Pam.
Oh, thanks
Pam.
For having
Do you
me.
Want to plug anything before we leave?
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Oh, you could listen to I Will Write Your Book.
Okay.
Ooh.
It's, with Will Hines. If you've never listened to it, you can listen to all the episodes on Campfire.
Media.com.
Apple Podcasts, wherever your podcasts are sold.
All right. Peace out, Baldies.
Someone to talk to. Brian and Charlie have a hairless party, and they are all there to invite you. No hairdos, no shampoos, interviews, only on Bald Talk.
This is Patrick.
And this is Mark, co-hosts of Nintendo Cartridge Society.
Every Tuesday and Thursday, we're your home for all things Nintendo.
On Tuesday, we're talking about the latest Nintendo news.
And on Thursday, we're doing deep dives into specific corners of the Nintendo universe.
Ranking the Koopa Kids.
Determining who the best Smash Fighter is.
That's Nintendo Cartridge Society on Campfire Media or wherever you get your podcasts.
Campfire.